As Bob prepares to read for us from Luke's Gospel, let's pray together our prayer for illumination. Lord, we do not always find it easy to recognize you coming to us. Come, reveal yourself to us. Meet us in the breaking of the bread. Set our heavy hearts on fire with love for you, and send us on our way rejoicing. For your name's sake, amen.
The scripture lesson today is from the Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. I'll be reading from verses 13 through 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So kids, not grown-ups, but kids actually this time, I've got an assignment for you this week. That's right, another assignment. That's right, my own kids are, I'm sure, real happy about that too. But this is a fun assignment, I think. It's going to be nice some days this week, and since this morning's Bible lesson takes place when the disciples are out walking, so, too, your assignment for this week is going to take place while you're out for a walk. Hopefully you do get out and walk around your neighborhoods, keeping good distance from each other. But kids, while you are walking around this week, I want you to watch out for people, places, and things that remind you of God, that remind you of Jesus, that remind you of the good gifts that God gives to us. And I want you to draw a picture or write something down, and then have your mom or your dad scan that and email it to me. Or maybe we'll have a special surprise next Sunday during our service if I get enough of these pictures. So be sure to do that this week. I know that there are probably a half dozen of you or so at least that might be listening, tuning in, or at least your parents are, and they can pass this along to you. So be sure to do that this week, kids. Looking forward to seeing what you come up with. For the rest of us, let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Shortly after we moved to New Jersey, back in 2005, we were in Times Square doing touristy things. This was still when New York City was fresh and new enough for us that we didn't know well enough to stay away from Times Square and all the touristy things. And we were in the NBC Experience store. You know, you do the studio tour, you get to see where they film Saturday Night Live and The Tonight Show and all these different things. And then they have this little store where you can go and shop for NBC memorabilia, things like this. And we're there and look over and see someone who looks familiar to us. But, of course, it couldn't be the person that we were thinking of because that person lives in Iowa. And what are the chances are that we would run into someone from back home in a city of millions and millions of people? And so we almost didn't recognize her, but it was indeed her. Have you ever had that experience before? Where you see someone that you think you might recognize, but they're so out of place that you don't imagine it could possibly be them. Of course, I've had the opposite experience before too, where I'm in a place where it's highly conceivable that the person I see is the person that I think it is, and then I go up to that person and give them a big hug only to discover that they look different from the front than they did from the back, and I've made an awful mistake in apologizing. Hopefully I never run for elected office, right? That kind of thing could come back and bite you. This is the case for the two disciples, Cleopas and his companion. I'm just going to make a bold statement here. I'm going to go out on a limb and imagine, because we're never told who the person is, that this is Cleopas' wife, okay? Husband and wife, two disciples, walking from Jerusalem back to their home in Emmaus. And they're disappointed. They are crushed, destroyed on this Sunday afternoon. Because they have been following Jesus. And they imagined that Jesus was the Messiah. The other disciples had been talking openly about this. Jesus himself has said it. And so they expected that Jesus was going to be the one who would finally restore Israel to its standing among the nations. They would cast off the Roman shroud that was veiling them, weighing them down, oppressing them. But of course, Friday happens, Jesus is arrested, and he's killed, and they put him in a tomb. And along with his body being buried in the tomb, so are their hopes and dreams of what Jesus was going to represent are buried with him. And in disappointment, they turn and they begin to walk away. They walk home. And along the way, a stranger begins walking with them. And they're walking along the road, and the stranger is walking with them, and they strike up a conversation. The stranger says, "Why the sad face?" To which they reply, "Where have you been? Have you not been watching the news?" It would be like today, someone going out in public and looking around and wondering, why is everyone keeping 6 feet from each other and wearing face masks? Like, hello, where have you been? Something is dominating the news. For Cleopas and his wife, the dominating news is about Jesus. And they're like, have you not heard of this? And they explain how Jesus, he was the one. He was the chosen one. He was the one that was meant to be. And then the Jewish leaders conspired against him and the Romans killed him. And now we're going back home. Have you not heard about all the things that just happened into Jerusalem? And then the companion says something rather strange. He says, didn't he tell you that he was going to die and then rise again? And then he went on as they were walking to explain from the Old Testament law and prophets all of the prophecies describing what Jesus was going to undergo. And it's a several miles walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and so it takes a while. And so they can talk, and they can talk, and they can talk, and they get to their house, and the stranger bids them farewell. He's going to walk along, but Cleopas, his wife, they are good Jews. And hospitality is a value to them. And so they say to the stranger, why don't you come on in? We've been on a long walk. Here, sit at the table with us. We can have some food. The stranger agrees. He'll come in and stay with them for a while. And Cleopas, his wife, are hard at work. They've got some bread. They've got some things. And then the stranger does something strange. That's what strangers do, strange things. He picks up bread, and he blesses it, and then he breaks it, and then he gives it to them. And when he does that, then they take a real close look at him. And they remember back to all of the times that they had seen someone else do that. 5,000 men, along with their wives and kids, were on a hillside after a long day of listening to teaching, and they were hungry. And Jesus took bread and he blessed it. And he broke it, and he started passing it out. And all of them were fed by the bread and by the couple of fish that a young boy had. A little bit later, 4,000 people were gathered on the hillside, and Jesus takes bread, and he blesses it, and he breaks it, and he starts to pass it out, and all of them are fed. And around the table, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And they ate. And in so doing, in their own homes, they see who the stranger is, Jesus. And in their excitement, Jesus vanishes from before their eyes, and they leave home, and they go back to Jerusalem. They turn around, and they run back. How many times, I wonder, do we miss out on what God is doing in our lives, in the world, because we discount the possibility that God could possibly ever act? The disciples, Cleopas and his wife, they didn't recognize Jesus because it couldn't possibly be Jesus. Because Jesus is buried in a tomb back in Jerusalem. How could he appear to them if he's there dead? And they say to one another, though, after he leaves, how our hearts were burning within us as he was revealing the scriptures to us. They had this inner sense that they were learning and their hearts were being set on fire for something, and yet they couldn't recognize exactly what it was. They couldn't quite put their finger on what was special about this stranger, about this moment, about this serendipitous meeting. One of the themes that I have consistently preached here at Abundant Life in my 6.5 years here among you, almost 7 years, I guess, is that we need to practice looking for God in our world. Looking for Jesus, looking for the Holy Spirit, looking for signs and wonders that God is doing out in our world. So do we believe that God is at work in our world today? Do you believe that you can have an encounter with Jesus in your own home? I think it's interesting that on this Sunday, when we're gathered at home worshiping through a computer screen because we can't gather together in a central place, that our story today would be about Jesus revealing himself to his disciples while they are in their own homes doing things that they would normally be doing. Sometimes I think we try too hard to find ways that God is at work in the world. We look for the big things, right? We say, well, if this virus doesn't mutate overnight into something that really doesn't harm anyone anymore and it doesn't just go away, then God couldn't possibly be at work. Or I saw on social media this week, so it must be true, that an asteroid passed by the Earth this week, and it didn't hit us. So, God must have been at work in that, right? The big cosmic things. The asteroid didn't hit the Earth and destroy it, and so that's God. The virus isn't cured, so God must not be at work. But what if this story is teaching us that Jesus shows up in smaller ways than that? This is one of the reasons why I asked the kids to draw pictures for us this week. Because kids are great at finding ways that God is present in the world. They have eyes that see possibilities where grown-ups only see limitations. If anything, this experience of being quarantined has showed us that kids are amazingly resilient. This is really hard. They're used to being in school every day. They're used to being able to go over to their friends' houses for play dates. They're used to being on the soccer field or in the dance studio or in the gym or on the baseball field or wherever it is that they are. They can't do any of those things. And they're not old enough to even perhaps fully understand why that is. But they get up and they just do it. Sometimes they beat each other up. Sometimes they scream at their parents. Sometimes their parents yell back. They're amazingly resilient. And they teach us to look for God in smaller ways. So Cleopas and his wife, they head back to Jerusalem, and they meet the disciples, and the disciples excitedly tell them that Jesus has appeared to Simon. Of course, we know that Jesus appeared to the women first, right? But the disciples, the disciples, they're too dim-witted to understand that Jesus appeared to the women first for a reason. Jesus appears to women. Jesus appears to children. Jesus does things in the presence of people that are not considered the most important. The disciples have a hard time learning this lesson. We have a hard time learning this lesson. But let's pause. Let's examine our hearts. How are our hearts burning within us this morning? What has God placed in your heart today? How are you being called to see and experience the saving message of Jesus Christ in a new way? How is God giving you a new lens through which to see the situation that we find ourselves in this morning, this week, this month? Jesus opened the eyes of Cleopas and his wife through ordinary means, sitting down to dinner, dining with one another, breaking the bread, something he'd done with them 1,000 times. And it was in the familiarity that they saw him for who he was. This is a story that if you've been part of the church for a while, you've probably heard before. If you've been a devoted person in Bible study or reading your Bibles, there are very few stories that you haven't heard before. For Cleopas and his wife, they'd read the Old Testament. They'd read the prophets. But when Jesus told them what it meant, they saw it with new eyes. Perhaps we need to pray for a new lens, for a new way of seeing these old stories and really attending to them, to mine them for what they might mean in our lives today. That's the task of the preacher each week, to find something within the story that'll speak to people in new ways, in a new circumstance, in a new context. But I think it's all of our job to do that as we attend to God's Word, to find new ways and new meanings for our world as it is today, to find words that'll comfort us in the midst of our despair, that will strengthen our resolve to help and support others who are in need. Whatever it is, just as Jesus was with Cleopas and his wife, there in their home. So I believe that the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are present with you in your homes today, setting your heart on fire for something new, something novel, something that will change the way that you understand your situation, that will change the way that you understand who God is calling you to be today. So as you are out in the world, when you go to the grocery store, when you go pick up your takeout, when you take a walk around your neighborhood, or when you stay inside, keep your eyes open, because you never know when Jesus is going to come up next to you and set your heart on fire. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, we thank you for your word and for the way we encounter it anew each time we read. So, Lord, help us to see good news. Help us to understand what we see. Set our hearts on fire for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today comes to us from the Heidelberg Catechism. Question and answer number 26, which is one that we maybe don't spend enough time with. The people of God, what do we believe? I believe that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. Amen.